And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So over the next 15 minutes or so, we'll go over ways to improve your investments and to enhance your current or future retirement income. All things financial on this show. Another one of the keys or pillars in a financial plan, a strong financial plan, is to lower or eliminate debt. Maybe not all the debt, for some debts are, or loans are needed. But when excessive debt, high interest debt, starts choking off your cash flow, when you have to use that hard-earned investment money just to make interest payments on debt, and you really have no idea how it got that bad, it might be time to seek some professional advice. You can gain wealth by eliminating or reducing your debts. And here to talk about that topic today from Allen Marshall & Associates, we have licensed insolvency trustee Matt Fader. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
First off, let's read the bio. Matt Fader obtained his trustee license in 2019, has been employed in the insolvency field since 2005. Matt started with Allen Marshall & Associates in 2016 with a focus on personal bankruptcy. And Matt has a unique ability to assess a debtor's needs while setting them at ease with empathy and humor. I like that. He makes it his goal to ensure the debtor leaves his office feeling better than they did when they walked in. Excellent. So once again, good morning, Matt. So let's talk first off about your role at Allen Marshall Associates and what that company does.
Well, thanks, Roger. What I am is I'm a licensed insolvency trustee. So we are licensed by the federal government, branch of licenses are issued by the Office of the Superintendent of Bankruptcy, which is a branch of Industry Canada. I want to say there's less than 2,000 of us across Canada that carry the license, so it's a fairly exclusive field.
With most being Ontario and BC.
There's still a lot in the Maritimes. You know, Nova Scotia certainly does have a fairly high debt per ratio capita type of thing where we do see a lot of consumer debt comparatively. We don't see numbers that you'd see in Ontario and Quebec, but based on our population size, we are quite busy in Nova Scotia. Our license allows us to administer the Bankruptcy and Insolvency Act, and really, we function in the vein of administering bankruptcies and consumer proposals. That is what we do as an insolvency trustee. Some minor credit counseling or things like that for people that may not meet the needs of happening to do a formal assignment. That is primarily what we do. We're the largest independent firm in Atlantic Canada. We have offices. Our main offices are out of New Brunswick. We have three offices in Nova Scotia, an office in PEI, and four or five that are currently operating out of New Brunswick. Small family firm, not so small anymore, probably about 50 employees, but
Growing quite large. So yeah. Let's do this. So the main cause of debt, which I know it's probably just simply not having enough money to pay the bills, but I'm going to give you a choice of the main causes if there is one. Here's the list of six. And you tell me which one you think, or you would know, which one is the main cause if there is one. Would it be job loss? I've been downsized. I don't have my job anymore. Divorce, very expensive. Everybody took a half. There's no halves left. Now you're a have not. Injury. I'm not making the same money I used to be. I'm injured and don't have enough insurance maybe to cover that. So job loss, divorce, injury, or simply poor money management. I make $60,000 a year but seem to spend $70,000 of it. I don't have any left over. Number five, gambling. Could be from gambling at the casino or simply on stock investment, penny stocks. They weren't penny stocks when I bought them, but they are now. And number six, alcohol or addiction. I simply can't seem to help myself. So of all or all the above, so what seems to be the main cause of debt that you see that people come to you for?
It really is a combination of a lot of factors. You know, poor money management's a biggie. Debt is easily obtained. You know, people are encouraged to, you know, that same focus in saving for the future, things of that nature that was prevalent 20, 30 years ago. Doesn't quite exist now. At the same time, money is a lot easier to spend.
And people seem to want too much of it too quickly?
They do. There's not really a desire to wait. There's a lot more financing, things of that nature that come into play. But so much of it really does boil down, in my opinion, to lack of money management skills. Marital breakdown, of course, contributes. But, I mean, that all compounds. Mm-hmm. You know, the poor money management puts stress on the household, which can lead to health-related issues. Then we'll see we will see gambling or addictions. We'll see a myriad of all these things that are really compounding. But if you really pin it down, the biggest difference and the biggest thing that I see that would have bumped rates up on our end really does come down to poor money management. Yeah.
Okay. We'll be back to expand on that in just a moment. We'll take a quick break and resume.
Knowing which investments that outperform and that are suitable to your goals and needs can be overwhelming. Understanding the advantages of growth segregated funds and or market linked indexes might have over balanced mutual funds could benefit your investments now and for estate planning later on. Diversifying part of your portfolio in private equity funds could have a significant impact on your retirement income on your financial destination show. We'll discuss these strategies and more to enhance your retirement income.
And we're back, speaking with Matt Figger from Allen Marshall Associates. So let's go, during 2020 COVID situation, has there been an increase in consumer debt and or counseling? And I guess, and what do you foresee for 2021? People might have got by in 2020, but if this lasts much longer, a second big wave, oh boy, we're going to be in trouble.
So COVID's been interesting. Record number job losses. Because the federal government was able to step in and dealing with the CERB and various forms of payment, we didn't really see a spike in insolvency, certainly not the way that we were initially anticipating. But then again, I mean, we can remember when, it's March, we'll be back to normal in May or June. So I think a lot of people really didn't quite understand the long tail on this virus that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, things did sort of plateau out. There weren't a lot of filings. And when you look and you say, well, why is that? People may not have been going to work. They may have been staying at home. Families were therefore not spending $600-$800 a month on childcare because the kids were home, the daycares were closed.
So expenses
were down. Yeah, things like one of the bigger factors that I see where people do spend a lot of money is on, it's convenience, but at the same time, food. People spend a lot of money on food. Grocery stores, expensive. Eating out's expensive. And all of a sudden, that's closed. You know, your grocery shopping becomes a lot more targeted. People aren't browsing in the grocery store. They're getting in, they're getting out as quickly as they can. They're not stopping for Tim Hortons every day because they're not doing that morning commute, so their fuel costs are down. Couple that with the deferral plans and things, defer my mortgage payment, defer my car payment, banks are there to help, blah, blah, blah. These are all things that people did take advantage of, which really did get the pressure off them in the short term.
So they took care of the basics, basic food and shelter.
100%, yeah. And a lot of that.
Elaborate.
Yeah, and you know, that some people did quite well. Some people are saying, well, I'm getting $2,000 a month each, or they're up to $4,000, and then they would look and they would say, but normally I was only making $3,000. For them, they were doing better.
More money and less things to spend it on.
Correct, yeah. So now, did they use that to address the debt? I really don't know.
Well, find out, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to find out, yes, definitely.
So here, speak of this. So the more common demographics, so who is more likely, perhaps, to file for bankruptcy? Let's find out. Would it be more low income or high income? It depends what you call low income. Let's say somebody under 50,000 or higher. The theory being, if I had more income, I'd have less debt.
You know, the debt load always keeps pace with the income. You know, somebody makes $30,000 a year has the debt load of somebody who makes $30,000 a year, the same way that you meet with somebody who makes $300,000 a year, and oh boy, I wouldn't want their debt load. So you know, the concept of I make good money, so therefore I can spend, it exists that everyone stays sort of on the same
playing
field.
To stay on par. The more you make, the more you kind of spend.
That's right, yeah. But they all have the same quality of life, and the fact that they say, well, if I have a big income, but most of my income's going to service debt, I'm still struggling to buy groceries. I'm still struggling to buy food because so much of my available cash is going just to service debt. So it really doesn't put them on a very much of a different level than somebody who says, well, I'm in a lower income bracket. And at the same time, people who have a very, very low income, there are levels of protection that exist for them that they can take advantage of that exists outside of a formal proceeding under the Bankruptcy and Insolvency Act. So, I mean, hey, a family unit of one that's probably under $1,200 or $1,400 a month, they are judgment proof. There's no real action that a creditor can bring against them.
Really, if there's a floor that you're...
Yeah. Basically, you have to look at it and you have to say, well, what can a creditor do? Can they garnish my wages? Well, I don't have wages. Can they seize my assets? I don't have assets. So, you know, and again, part of my job when you're meeting with a debtor is to give them the options. It's part of our mandate, what's covered under our license, is to say, well, I have to walk you through all options that are available, not just that are strictly regulated under the Bankruptcy and Insolvency Act, but the self-help remedies that are out there for you as a debtor to say, is this the right move for you? Are you going to be in a better position or a worse position for doing this? If you can't afford to pay the debt now, you're struggling to pay rent, sure, I can do a bankruptcy for you, but tomorrow when you wake up, you still can't pay the rent. So, you know, you have to weigh that balance with the debtor to say, look, yes, you can take advantage of this, but is it in your best interest or does it make sense? So as much as it is in my job to bring business into the company to help these debtors survive, I still have a mandate to ensure that if you're coming in and you're doing something with us, that it's the right move for you.
A lot of options to go over with a client.
100%, yeah.
They do that. So one other question before we go. Difference between a seasonal worker or someone who gets paid regularly, is it any difference as far as easier for one? Someone who gets seasonal worker or maybe commission, it'd be so much easier if I get a regular paycheck every week. Does that make any difference in their ability to manage money?
Not overly. I mean, with the seasonal employees, we always try to tell them that when you're making money, like you're dealing with a lobster fisher person or somebody who works, you know, in the tourism industry, which wouldn't want to be in right now, unfortunately. But, you know, we say, well, you've got these months where you know you're building up that bank. And they know the patterns as well as we do to say, well, I work for 3-4 months and then I'm on EI for the remaining 8. So, you know, for those people, we have to say, well, you have to be very aware of your budget. You have to have good core budgeting skills to ensure that that money stretches you over that period of time. So the seasonal people, I find that they're a little bit more savvy as far as understanding that this window of opportunity to earn is limited.
They've been there before.
Every year is the same for them, yeah. Right? You know, I fish, I get, $60,000, $70,000 in the first 3 months, and then I'm on 2-3 grand a month in EI income for the remainder of the period. So they know those patterns. At the same time, we always do want to encourage to say, well, yes, you know these patterns, so prepare for them so that those months where you're on EI, you have the surplus cash to help carry over that, so your quality of life isn't impacted.
So thus the words, credit counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's what you're doing.
Basically.
How to do.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take another quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Does it seem that after several years, you're just getting older and your investments are not doing any better? What should you be doing? Are there simple strategies to improve your retirement income that you weren't advised on, you missed out on, and wish to change? Stay tuned. Roger will cover these topics. At any time, email your questions to roger@yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
And we're back. We've been talking with Matt Fader, licensed insolvency trustee with Allen Marshall & Associates. So how can clients come see you? I mean, they want to talk. What's your best way to contact you? Phone number, address?
Right now, coming to see us is, of course, difficult. The offices are still closed. We're open, of course. Everything is being done.
No personal visits.
Yeah. Well, we'll make the occasional exception, but for the most part, we are doing everything through phone. Signings are done through some software that we use. But basically, you can visit our website. It's www.wecanhelp.ca. Office, when we do eventually open here on the Dartmouth side, is at Evergreen Place at 530 Portland Street, so right across from where Penhorn Mall used to be, behind where the Pizza Hut is. It's a suite 208, and our number there is 902-461-7850. But going on the website, we've got the online chat functions. You can pretty much talk to anybody at any point. Doesn't have to be me. That's the nice thing about dealing with a licensed insolvency trustee is we all play by the same book. They may not be as smart or as handsome as I am, but they're going to get the right type of service regardless.
They can come close. That's right.
All right.
This show will be on my website, yourfinancialdestination.ca, in a few weeks. You can click on any previous previous shows as well. Any questions for Matt or any other financial topics, my email is roger@yourfinancialdestination.ca or call me at 902-499-5879. This is Roger Hamilton. Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.